Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, ladies and gentlemen. Whenever you are listening to this, I hope it's great. My name is Jordan McClain, and I am here to let you know that the following podcast is scheduled for one fall. Episode 8. Honestly, 2 months in, I'm surprised I'm still here, man. But I'm only here because of the support and the love that you guys have been showing me. Thank you so much for all of the love and support that you guys have been giving me over these past 2 months. I say it all the time because I mean it every time I say it, man. You guys are literally helping me live my dreams by just pressing play. You know what I mean? It's so surreal to me that people actually sit down and listen to my thoughts and listen to what I have to say. That's crazy to me because, you know, I've mentioned it before, man. If you guys knew just how scared I was to do this podcast, and I guess that's kind of my message this week. You know, I have a friend from the acting world who has our own slogan, and that slogan is, "Do it scared." And when I first seen her post that, you know, she posted it in a rather lengthy post about her overcoming her own fears of and stepping out and doing something new. And ever since I seen it, man, it's just stuck with me. It's really, really stuck with me to do it scared, because a lot of the times we do stuff, you know, we stop ourselves from doing stuff because of the fear, because of the what if, you know, what if it doesn't work out? What if it, you know, what if I flop? What if I get there and it's not what I thought? What if, you know, what if? Honestly, if was a fifth, we'd all be drunk. I'm bringing this to this particular podcast, not to preach to y'all, but just to, because I know that this is the kind of business where you got to kind of go out on a limb, whether it's traveling to a new show, whether it's getting on the top rope for the first time. Hell, for some people, it's just going to training for the first time. Somebody out there is listening to this podcast right now, and all they can say, all they can do, all they can think is, what if? Because there's that little bit of doubt, that little bit of fear behind you. If I can't tell y'all nothing else, I want y'all to do it scared. Reach out to that promotion, you know, make that drive. Go train, you know, get the new gear. Work on the promo. Put that promo out. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it is, there's a lot of y'all out there right now who are afraid to do something. Don't be afraid, man. And even if you are afraid, you never get anywhere by not doing. So even if you got to do it scared. This week, we're back in Georgia. I'm talking about one promotion that I have grown to really love since October. This is the second show I'll be reviewing and watching of theirs. And the other, I've been wanting to cover. You know, I've been wanting to cover them for a long time. I'm talking about GIPW and Southern Honor Wrestling. It's going to be a fantastic show, ladies and gentlemen. But before we get there, as always, let's get these particulars out of the way. Make sure you're following me on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain to keep up with the journey, keep up with the podcast. Also, I have an official Facebook page. The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. Make sure you guys check that out if you would like. Make sure you go ahead and like it. And make sure you subscribe to this podcast wherever you are currently listening to it. It's on all major DSPs, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you're listening right now, be sure to click that subscribe button. Also, if you have not heard, I got a new series coming out. It's called The Interviews. It's a spinoff series of this here podcast where I am speaking to some of independent wrestling's finest in my personal point of view. December 23rd, that's this Wednesday, when you're listening to this. The first episode will be out right here, wherever you're streaming this. That episode will be out this Wednesday. I'll be talking to Skrilla the Great every other Wednesday. A new interview is going to drop, man. Again, ahead of time, thank you guys so much for your support. Thank you guys so much for trusting me and trusting my voice. It does not go unnoticed. It does not go unappreciated. I feel that love, and I hope y'all feel that love right back. First up, we're talking about Southern Honor Wrestling coming out of Canton, Georgia. I'm really excited to talk about Southern Honor, man, available right now on IWTV. I remember Southern Honor starting up right around the time that Tevin and I started marking out, way back of 2018. And they have quickly pulled themselves up as a premier wrestling event in the Southeast, certainly in the state of Georgia. They've got some of my favorite talents. They've always had some of my favorite talents. So I ain't holding y'all much longer, man, because I am just excited to talk about it. Let's jump into it. Southern Honor 22. So right off the top, the opening package, I loved it. The opening segment, I loved it. Southern Honor has some fantastic production value. Now, I realize that not everyone can afford this level of production while you are an independent wrestling company, but to see a company even want to put in this much effort really makes my heart happy. I also learned as I was watching this that this show was filmed by the amazing TJ Burks. I've already told him privately just how much I feel about him, but honestly, if you want to see some top-notch quality in your production, it has to be TJ. I can't think of anyone else who is touching TJ Burks. This show absolutely proves that. So our first matchup is Kyle Matthews taking on Chip Day, two men whose name rings bells internationally and all of that. For this match to start, this entire show is actually kind of crazy to me because this feels like a match that should be the main event of any show. It was a great match, flat out. It was a fantastic match. The pacing of this match was really fantastic, and so much was put together in just the first 5 minutes. You guys, y'all have heard me talk about on this show movement, wrestlers in the ring and their movement and their pacing. I think that this match is the kind of match that you study when you're teaching wrestling pacing and movement within a wrestling match. There was absolutely no wasted motion during this match. There was also some great storytelling in the fact that these two have known each other for so long. They've wrestled a number of times and they've probably seen each other's matches over and over. So one thing that I really loved about the match was that because of all that history, because they've both been in it so long, no one had a distinct advantage. No one had really a leg up on each other. And I think that that really was made for an even fantastic matchup. Even though I have heard his name plenty of times, I do believe this is the first time that I can remember watching a Chip Day matchup. And he showed incredible versatility in this match. He wrestled what felt like a combination of his style and Kyle Matthews' style. Kyle Matthews is precision personified in this matchup. Every strike was on point, right where it needed to be. To his credit, he took some hellish strikes from Chip Day, and he kept on kicking. I absolutely love that side of Kyle Matthews from what I've seen, not just here in Southern Honor, but in Action Wrestling and the other few matches that I've seen of him. He really does have a, you know, come from the bottom kind of vibe to him, man. And I really love that about him. Ultimately, Chip Day gets the win and moves on in the tournament to crown a new Southern Honor champion. This was a fantastic way to start the show. It really was. You get the crowd hyped up with two veterans, two of their favorites. It sets the bar. Every match should be raising the bar. And I think that this match set a pretty high bar for the entire show, but it was met beautifully throughout. I love this match. And you got to love seeing two veterans really set a standard and sort of, you know, tell these young bucks in the back, you know what I mean? Top that. Go out, top that match. Next up, we got David Ali with Austin Towers taking on Trevor Eon. Listen, I don't know if or how Southern Honor knew that these three were some of my favorite performers in wrestling. I don't know how they knew my spirit needed to see this match, but damn it, they did, and I'm grateful that they did. Trevor showed viciousness from the very beginning with some of them wicked elbows, some straight-up mat-based wrestling, putting Ali in a chokehold, and that was all less than 2 minutes into this match. Y'all know how I feel about Trevor. If you don't, follow me on Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain. I talk about Trevor Eon at length over there on my Twitter. I've loved David Ali as a performer since I started watching him at, you guessed it, WWE 4. In the same way that I talk about Austin Towers, I can say that for David Ali. To watch his growth in the ring and with his overall presence in professional wrestling, it's a thing of beauty. I love seeing it. I think that David Ali, even though he's had a prominent spot on AEW Dark this year, I think that David Ali is one of the more underrated performers in the Southeast. I've been keeping up closely with him, and I can say that with all confidence, I fully believe David Ali will work as hard, if not completely outwork, anyone in a locker room. This match actually ended a lot quicker than I thought it would. I ain't gonna lie, I was a little bit disappointed. But knowing what I know now about everything that happened throughout the night, it makes sense. The quickness of this match absolutely makes sense. And it's my sincere hope that we end up getting to see Trevor Eon versus David Ali at length somewhere really soon, if they have not already. I think that those two would put on an incredible match if they were given some serious time and opportunity. In our third matchup, we've got Ashton Starr taking on Vari Morales. Very familiar with these two, actually. This match started chaotic as hell. Okay? Both of these men just woke up and chose chaos that day, apparently. Much of the opening action of this match began as an outside brawl before we even got into the ring and started the bell. I mean this with absolute honesty and absolutely no disrespect. Ashton Starr reminds me of Alicia Fox. He's got those really long legs which enhance his athleticism. He's quick and he's got a vicious streak to go along with that cocky attitude that he has. And he's also a great seller. I've seen a bunch of Ashton matches, and his ability to sell is fantastic. Vari Morales is my favorite kind of wrestler. Listen, I have an affinity in my heart for women's wrestling, managers, and the Lucha Libre style. And Vari is top tier Lucha Libre as far as I'm concerned. He's high flying. He takes those high risks, but it's not overdone. And he landed everything beautifully in this match. We also got some great storytelling with the callbacks to their previous match. Ashton being an absolute shit heel with how he won this match and his actions after the match to move on in the tournament. This match was really fun overall. And I love the story that's being told between these two. Next up, we got Cyrus taking on Hold My Beer Hansen. Now, before we get into it, y'all know what I'm going to say, right? Cyrus is 6'5", 350 pounds. Big motherfuckers doing big motherfucking shit. Y'all already know how I feel about big men. This man left his feet to do a one-legged drop kick. He threw Hold My Beer Hansen around like he wasn't, like he was just some kind of damn rag doll. And Hold My Beer Hansen was billed at 270 pounds on this show. Can you imagine just throwing 270 pounds around? Can you imagine just picking a 270 pound anything up and throwing it as if it was just a 5 pound dumbbell? This match took a minute and a half. This match took 90 seconds from bell to bell. And the time limit of this match was 20 minutes. It ain't much else I can actually say. I want to see Cyrus everywhere. I do. I want to see Cyrus everywhere. If you know of where I can watch more Cyrus, because I don't know anything about him. This is my first time seeing him, even knowing who he is. So if you know more about him and you know where I can see him, make sure to hit me up on my social media, Instagram or Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain. Let me know more about Cyrus, man, because woo, I tell you, dog. Next on tap, we've got Jordan Kingsley taking on Owen Knight. I really love this styles clash in this match. Owen, who I've talked about on this show before, I've mentioned him at length in a brass ring segment, I want to say a couple of weeks ago, was in this match as the brawler versus Jordan Kingsley, who has that high-flying, fast-paced style of matchup. Jordan Kingsley got off a super kick that was so clean and so precise. Owen Knight coughed up a loogie that would cover half of y'all face. It was a beautiful spot. That doesn't sound right, like, oh, he coughed up a loogie. Why are you calling that beautiful? I'm telling you, the whole spot was beautiful. You got to see it to know what I'm talking about. One thing I loved about this match is that it felt like any second this match could end. Commentary, who did an excellent job throughout the night, I discovered that Southern Honor has probably one of the better commentary teams in professional wrestling. I'm talking about on any level. I really love Southern Honor Wrestling's commentary team. But they pointed that out in this match too. This match constantly felt like it was just one move away from a three count. Also, like I said earlier, I love a good manager. And Logan Chase had his hands in this matchup as well. I don't know much about Logan Chase either. He came out with Cyrus, but if there was anybody who I think doesn't need a manager, it would be Cyrus. But I digress. But I do love that Logan Chase added a sense of importance to this match and to the overall show with his presence. You know, managing is, I believe, a lost art in professional wrestling anyway. You know, we got a lot of people who just come out to the ring and we're supposed to consider them managers. But true managing, I'm talking about Bobby Heenan, Paul Heyman, Jimmy Hart, true managing is about getting, first of all, your client over. Second of all, getting whatever match your client is in over. Third of all, getting the overall show over. It's not about you as a manager. Even the best managers in the planet, it was not about them. And I think that Logan Chase really has that about himself. He done a great job of being present, being seen, but not making the show about him. I think he done a fantastic job at that. Owen Knight picked up the win in this match, and if you've listened to this show, like I said, I've talked about Owen as a performer. I think the world of him, but this was my first time seeing Jordan Kingsley in action. Jordan Kingsley got it, y'all. He's got it. I don't know how old he is. I don't know how long he's been wrestling. I don't know anything about him. But I know something good when I'm looking at it. And Jordan Kingsley has it. Whatever it is, Jordan Kingsley has it. Post-matchup, we get an appearance from the Chief, Austin Towers. I've talked about Austin a lot on this show as well, so I won't go into detail about how I feel about him right now. But I'm very intrigued as to what's building between him and Sunny Days. Austin Towers versus Sunny Days, that's going to be damn good when that does eventually pop off. Next up, we've got Gunnar Miller taking on Joey Lynch. This was a fantastic match to showcase the emotions and the investment of the story and the fans. Joey Lynch, very clearly the favorite. Fans were very clearly into this entire storyline. And I also love that even though this match was a tournament match, it didn't feel like that. This was a straight up grudge match. This was a big fight feel. This match was personal. Every moment from the striking to Gunnar Miller throwing Joey maybe like five rows deep into the crowd, every single thing felt personal and intentional. And it felt like the tournament and ultimately the title was secondary to these two simply just wanting to fight. Gunnar did a release German suplex from the top a la Kurt Angle, and it landed beautifully. And I really like seeing Gunnar Miller. I can't say that I've seen him before. Y'all know my memory's bad. I probably have seen him before, but I can't recall. But what I do know is that I can't wait to see more of him in the future. That dude he's a fucking brick house, man. Gunnar Miller, I believe Gunnar Miller has it as well. The same it that I was talking about with Jordan Kingsley. I think Gunnar Miller has it as well. Like I said, his name sounds familiar to me, but I can't say that I've ever seen him wrestle before. If I have, shame on me for not remembering. If I haven't, this was a great way for me to get introduced to Gunnar Miller. Joey Lynch hit 3 damn moonsaults back to back to back, and Gunnar Miller kicked out at 1. I threw my hands up as soon as I seen it. Like, that to me, that's insane. 3 moonsaults back to back to back, and this motherfucker kicks out at 1? What? Now, what's even more insane is that Gunnar Miller caught Joey Lynch when he jumped off the top rope into a suplex position. Did y'all hear what I said? Joey Lynch jumped off the rope. Gunnar Miller caught him in a suplex position. He didn't catch him and then lift him into the suplex position like so many other people do, which is perfectly fine. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just touting that Gunnar Miller caught him already in the suplex position. I don't think I've ever seen anyone do that. Gunnar Miller's strength is bananas. And I cannot wait to see more of that dude, man. He actually got the win in this match. And then we get some post-match shenanigans between Gunnar and Brady Pierce. That has piqued my interest as well. Next up, we've got the Beautiful Bald Besties in tag team action against Lethal Poison. Speaking of Brady Pierce. We actually just seen, like I said, Brady Pierce and Corey Hollis, who are known as Lethal Poison. We just seen them at the end of the Gunnar Miller match. I'm not sure of the story with Lethal Poison. Like I said, this is the first time that I've watched Southern Honor. I've certainly got to go back and catch up and watch more of them, but it felt like Lethal Poison was out to prove something in this match. And they did it pretty emphatically. You know, the vibe of Lethal Poison had put the crowd in a hush. And it wasn't a disrespectful hush. It was almost like a stunned hush. I don't know the story behind Brady Pierce or anything of that nature, but they kept touting that Brady Pierce, the last time they saw him, it looked like he was done with professional wrestling. So to see him back, I'm sure was a shock. To see Lethal Poison, I'm sure was a shock for Southern Honor fans. I could see why this whole moment put them in a hush overall. Lethal Poison has a really good look to them. Brady Pierce is a freaking stallion. And Corey Hollis puts me in the mind of, I believe they go by FTR in AEW now, but I know them as the Revival from WWE. That's who Corey Hollis puts me in the mind of. He seems to be a really old school style wrestler. I could be wrong. I'm sure there are people out there listening who know way better than me. I am always open to being corrected. Make sure you correct me, if you're going to correct me, on my social media at Mr. Jordan McClain on Instagram or Twitter. But yeah, he gave me that real old school style, almost like Arn Anderson for some reason. Lethal Poison ends up winning this tag team matchup, and commentary again being fantastic. They kept asking, you know, what does Lethal Poison want? What is their end game? Why are they back? What are they doing? I'm really excited to see that. I'm excited to see that story play out as well. Now we get to our main event, a 6-man scramble to crown the new Southern Honor champion. We've got Ashton Starr, Chip Day, Cyrus, David Ali, Owen Knight, and Gunnar Miller. Going into this match, I was nervous. It's a multi-man match. I'm not going to go off like I have been doing. But it's a multi-man match. So y'all know why it made me nervous. But at the same time, I had a very healthy level of optimism for this match. Because up until this point, the show had been fantastic. I had no reason to really have any doubt on anybody in this match or on Southern Honor as a whole to pull off a multi-man match. I didn't take many notes because I never take many notes in multi-man matches. So I'm just going to hit you guys with some thoughts that hit me as I was watching the match. Gunnar and Cyrus are two big ass beefy motherfuckers that I want to see go to battle really soon. David Ali should be on everybody's radar if he's not already, because David Ali is really great at what he does. Cyrus has a beautiful Vader bomb, and Gunnar Miller has a beautiful spear. What I love about Gunnar Miller's spear in particular is that he actually looks like he's driving through the opponent, not just like he's hugging them and then they're falling. Gunnar looks like he's actually aiming to go through his opponent, which makes the spear look even more devastating. This match ends, ladies and gentlemen, and your new Southern Honor champion is none other than David Ali. I love the shock factor. I don't know if because the pin happened kind of quickly, almost like out of place. So I don't know if like everyone knew the finish of the match. I don't know if David Ali himself knew the finish of the match. If he did, he played it perfectly. If he did not know the end to the match, if David Ali didn't know that he was going to win, he played it beautifully. His character work at the end after he got the pin was beautiful. So was Owen Knight's reaction to it. The character work that they had was absolutely, it was a thing of beauty, man. I really, really loved seeing it. The crowd and commentary were seemingly just a shock. That's why I said I don't know if this was the finish that they were going for. But honestly, even if it wasn't, it's the finish we deserve. It was a fantastic finish. All in all, it was a shock to end the show. It was a shock to end the year for Southern Honor Wrestling, and I was extremely pleased with the show. The show was fantastic, man. Production and presentation is an A+. Every match felt competitive because every performer put their heart into their matches. For them to only be 2 years in, I've got to say, Southern Honor Wrestling feels like it's one of, if not the best thing going in the Southeast. Maybe in all of independent wrestling. Honestly, they could argue that they have the best product in independent wrestling, and I don't think I would have an argument against that, man, just from watching this one show and hearing everything that I've heard about them over the years. The booking is great. Whoever does the booking has a beautiful eye for talent. Everybody on this card was insanely talented. And so whoever does the booking, you know, they have a fantastic eye for talent. And I don't see anything but an upside for Southern Honor Wrestling going into 2021. Big shout out to Southern Honor for putting on an absolutely awesome show, man. They're going to step it up next year. Next up, we're talking GIPW out of Macon, Georgia. You'll remember I spoke about their October show entitled Rocktoberfest. This is their November show, available on Fight TV right now, entitled Remember the 8th of November. Super excited to talk about this show, so let's get right into it. First up, we've got Big Money taking on Luke Stone. Overall, super solid opening match. This is the first I've seen of Big Money, and I like what he brought to the table. So let me paint this picture for y'all. His entire outfit was money print. He had a money shooter for his entrance. And at some point during this match, in the early portion of this match, this man threw money at Luke Stone. I love it. Even if it's not your thing, I think that you have to respect the commitment. And that's one thing that I think a lot of pro wrestlers are missing these days, because they end up doing things that they don't like or that they're not really into. And I don't know if this is really a newsflash to y'all, but we as fans, we as consumers can tell when you don't like something. When you are not feeling whatever it is that you're a part of, we can tell that you're unhappy. So, especially in independent wrestling, if you are not happy with something, take your ball and go home or fake it. I don't know if Big Money was faking it or if he genuinely likes the gimmick. Either way, I like it because I could tell that he was committed to actually doing the gimmick. The more that I watch Luke Stone, the more that I like him. He's got a great underdog vibe to him that I think, if he's given a good storyline, it could end up allowing him to really showcase himself even more than what I have seen of him. The match itself, it was good. I think that there were some portions that could have been a little cleaner overall, but bad moments and bad spots in a match are bound to happen. They're about as natural as the sun coming up. I think with a little bit of time and polishing, this is a match I would like to see down the road to show both of these men and their improvement. Next up, we got my guy, Renegade Enforcer, taking on Justin Cole Wright. Justin Wright had a good idea, okay? Let me start there. You take the fight to the big man and try to get him off balance early. He tried to get in a chokehold. He tried to get in some headbutts. Ultimately, y'all know what the fuck going on. Big motherfuckers doing big motherfucking shit. I could probably get away with watching Renegade Enforcer matches all day. If he's just hurting motherfuckers like he did in this match, I'd totally be down to just watch that shit. Like, he was just... And again, credit where it's due. Justin Wright kept trying. He kept trying to bring the fight to him. He had some moments, some really good moments, where he was trying to work his knee, get the big man off balance, trying to get something going for himself. The crowd was very solidly behind him. And I love the buildup that they ended up having for him in this match. Ultimately, though, it wasn't enough. Renegade threw this man. I can't even express what he threw him at. Like, he just threw this man, and he made it look so damn easy. It was, I'm sorry. I'm usually a man who knows the words that he wants to use. Sometimes, though, I just can't find them. I can't find the words to express Renegade Enforcer. He ended up winning this match, and that was the night the lights went out in Macon. Match number three, we've got women's action. Gia Roman taking on Kaya Dream. I keep wanting to say Kia Dream. Versus Brooklyn Creed. According to commentary, this is only the third women's match in GIPW history. Good on you, GIPW. Not enough people are giving women a chance. So, you know, I like to call out when people are giving women chances. This isn't the first time that I've seen Brooklyn Creed, so I knew what she was capable of. But this was my first time seeing both Gia Roman and Kaya Dream. I enjoyed Kaya's attitude, and I enjoyed her mean streak that she had, like, during her pre-match promo. I think it was a very good pre-match promo. And also what she did throughout the match. Gia Roman has a fantastic look to her. I see a vision for Gia Roman, and that's about all I'll say. All three women had a great, great presence about them. With all that being said, I did not like the pace of this match. It felt unnecessarily fast. It felt like they were rushing through it, and in turn, it made the match look bad. I think had they slowed down and took some beats in the match, then it would not have looked as chaotic as it did. I loved them all individually. And because I saw something in all of them individually, I went on ahead and looked up some matches from, in particular, Kaya Dream and Gia Roman outside of this. Because I just wanted to see. I had a suspicion, and I wanted to see if my suspicion was correct, obviously. So, I ended up finding a match from a couple of months ago between Kaya and Gia. That match, way better. I know what Brooklyn Creed can do because I've watched her a handful of times. So, now I know all three of these women can put together a very good match and be solid in a match. I believe, it's my personal belief, that this match was just simply a victim of bad pacing. Had the pacing been worked out a little better, had they all slowed down, I think this match would have presented a lot better than it did. Kudos to all three of them, especially, like I said, now that I know all three of them are good in the ring. So, the match wasn't bad in the sense that the performers are bad performers. It was just simply bad pacing. They rushed through it, and you could tell. Next up, we got a handicap match, Frat Party versus a Pissed Off Giant in Austin Towers. The match started out hot, as it should have given the storyline. Although Austin was fired up, I like that Frat Party didn't back down from him. I like that they got off some pretty good offense. They got off a really unique double team move of a shoulder tackle to the back with a combination DDT. Hey, you got to do what you got to do when your back is up against the wall, okay? This match, it didn't go very long. Frat Party picked up the win through some shit heel tactics. It was a very solid handicap match in order to push this story forward. No muss, no fuss. Next up, Sean Angelo Montana versus Skrilla the Great. Putting this match on paper in front of me, I would have thought, you know, this was going to be a great match. And it was. In the same way that I spoke about Luke Stone earlier, the more I see Sean Montana, the more he grows on me. I believe it was Rocktoberfest where I complimented his selling ability. It really shined in this match as well. He's a selling machine. He makes his opponent look even better than he already is. Skrilla does what Skrilla's gonna do. He's so damn good. I don't really, much like Renegade Enforcer, I don't really have the proper words to describe Skrilla. he's vicious and he's mean. And I like this combination of Renegade and Forza with him. With those two together, we're dealing with a very dangerous combination. You know, this is a combination that I want to see travel outside of Georgia, because I think that they would really thrive from traveling together and being on the tag team scene. Even if they weren't on the tag team scene per se, they would thrive to just being together. They really thrive. Skrilla had no wasted motion. Every single move was impactful on his part. Sean had the crowd completely behind him. This match was really loud. And this match was everything that you would have wanted out of two talented people. I don't know what kind of pin it was that Sean did, but that was one of the most unique pins I've ever seen for him to get the win. I really like seeing the two of them work together. I think that they gel well together and they had great pacing. Sean got over like crazy. Now, after the match, I have in my notes, Eric goddamn Silva shows up. If you're out there listening to me and you're a promoter, you're probably wondering what your promotion needs. Your promotion definitely could use more Eric Silva. Point blank, period. While I got y'all here, little plug, this Wednesday, December 23rd, my interview with Skrilla the Great comes out on this stream. So wherever you're listening to this right now, be sure to subscribe, be sure to follow, because this Wednesday, December 23rd, my interview with Skrilla comes out. I had such a blast talking to him and getting to know more of his story and hearing some of his thoughts. Make sure you're tuned in for that. Next up, we got Divine Intervention versus the Menagerie in tag team action. Divine Intervention, who I think has one of my favorite tag team names of all time, showed just some straight up aggression in this match. They've done a great job with their tags. They've done a great job with their double team moves, and they've done a great job keeping control of most of the match. During the comeback, one member of the Menagerie, I don't know them by name, so forgive me for that, but one member of the Menagerie done a beautiful power slam on the hot tag. So the Menagerie did get in some offense in this match. They got in some good offense. But again, Divine Intervention was in solid control for most of the match. So it wasn't a non-contested victory for Divine Intervention, but to me, this match felt pretty one-sided in favor of them. Lastly, we get to our main event matchup. Tony James taking on Mr. Right for the GIPW Heavyweight Championship. This match started pretty even for the most part, but there was a moment where they went to the outside and it felt like Tony James just decided to turn it up a notch from there on. Y'all know how I am, big motherfuckers. Doing what? Okay. He began singling out the leg of Mr. Right. And I actually love that strategy. Not enough people do that today. It's so old school and classic for a wrestler, especially a heel, to just pick a limb and stay on it to wear down an opponent. So much of wrestling today is focused on hitting a spot, going here, boom, boom, boom. You know what I mean? Even when he worked something else, James came back to the leg. And I definitely enjoyed seeing that. Mr. Right, though, showed a lot of heart in this match. Despite getting his ass whooped for a good portion of the match, he continued fighting. And he continued taking it to Tony James. I think these two told a great story throughout this whole matchup. Tony James done a fucking frog splash. I'm not going to repeat myself. I've already said it once during this match, but y'all already know what I'm thinking, right? Ultimately, Mr. Right pulled out the win and retained the GIPW Heavyweight Championship to close out what I think was still a really great show. It wasn't the greatest show of all time, but that's really rare in wrestling on any level these days now to have the greatest show of all time. Despite a couple of missteps, I think that this show did a great job of keeping me hyped throughout the show and making me want to watch. A couple of things have already come out in regards to their December show that have me very excited to come back. So that's what I'll be doing. Next month, I'll be right back here on Fight TV, ready to watch, ready to talk, ready to see what the hell is happening. I hope the performers in this show are not too hard on themselves, especially not from hearing me. But, you know, I really hope that they were not too hard on themselves. You take a licking, you keep on ticking. You know what I mean? You only get better. So, big shout out to everybody at GIPW. I'm going to be watching because, yet again, y'all have set up some good shit for the December show. So, I'm going to be watching next month on Fight TV. It is my sincere hope that you guys will be watching too. What's up, guys? Thank you so much for checking out the podcast. If you like what you are hearing right now, be sure to subscribe and follow the podcast wherever you're listening. Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and any number of other podcast apps. Wherever you're listening to this right now, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Also, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain to keep the conversation going. Let's get back to the show. We've come to the portion of our show, ladies and gentlemen, that I like to call the brass ring. This segment is where I take a few minutes and shine the spotlight on a specific talent that I believe, if given the opportunity, can take the ball on a mainstream platform and really run with it. This week, I am giving the brass ring to Lutha X. Lutha is one of those special cases where I've gotten to see him literally since his first match. I met him a few weeks just before his first match. I've mentioned before about a couple of other wrestlers how I'm so happy and so excited to see their progression from the beginning until now, and he is absolutely no different. I've watched him go from an insecure rookie to one of the premier performers in the Southeast. When you ask certain people in this area who is the one to watch, they might mention a few names. But the name that I've noticed that stands out the most and is the most consistent on the list is Lutha X. He's on everybody's watch list. You know, it'll vary with other people. But Lutha X, I have not met anyone who has not said he is one to watch. He was already an athlete before he became a wrestler, but his progression in his in-ring work is second to none. I've seen him train up close, and I've watched him pick things up and implement them in his next match as if he knew it the entire time. You know, in today's world, wrestlers really have to be sponges and be ready to absorb most of the training and the advice that they are given, and he has done that very, very well. Speaking of his in-ring work, Lutha has a ridiculous amount of charisma. I talked about it during the Action Wrestling episode. If you have not heard that, go back into the archives and listen to it. But he has become, in a very short amount of time, a master at controlling the crowd. He'll have fun with you, but he knows how to reel you back in and make you pay attention to what he has going on. His presence itself is really magnetic. You want to see him, and you want to pay attention when he's around. One thing that I love most about him is that he is adaptable. He's been put in matches that, on paper, seem like a very bad idea. And he's come out looking fantastic, as well as making his opponent look fantastic. Matches that really should not have worked have been put on a serious stage in part to his ability to adapt to whatever he has going on. I can also appreciate his promo ability. Again, that was something that I watched him work on since the beginning of his career, and he took it very serious. Now, on the occasion that he does drop a promo, it's likely going to be one of the best promos to come from whatever show he's working. He really makes you feel like you want to watch his match. Overall, when I think of well-rounded wrestlers, Luther X is at the top of the list. He works his ass off. He takes his craft serious. He's always looking to improve, whether it's going to training or asking someone for advice. I know that he soaks in a lot of wrestling just to simply study and tweak his game so that every time he steps in a ring, every match he goes into, he's ready to take things up a notch and use the tools that he's learned. Charisma off the charts. He's picked up titles almost everywhere he's gone, and he's gotten looks from people who know what I see. A wrestler's wrestler who can only elevate whatever he's a part of. He's really poised to have a huge 2021 in pro wrestling. I'm excited to say that I see him, and I've played a very small role in the foundation of his career. Check him out if you have not, because you're missing out on something and someone special. That's why this week I give the brass ring to Luther X. Thank you guys so much for checking out the show this week. That's all I got for you. It means the world to me that you took time out of your day to check out this show. I love you guys so, so much. Thank you for helping me live my dreams. Be sure to follow me on social media. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain. Be sure to like the official Facebook page. The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. And be sure to follow the podcast wherever you are currently listening to it. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Anchor, wherever you're listening to it, be sure to go ahead and click that subscribe button. Also, if you do happen to share my stuff and you are able to, make sure to tag me so that I can personally thank you for sharing my stuff. Man, I can't tell y'all enough how much your support means to me. Also, be sure to be on the lookout this Wednesday, December 23rd. My interview with Skrilla the Great is going up every other Wednesday. A new interview will be going up right here on this stream. So wherever you're currently listening to it, be sure to subscribe every other Wednesday. You're going to get an interview, and every single Sunday, you'll get a regular podcast. My name is Jordan McClain. I love y'all. Thank you so, so much, and I'm out. Peace.